Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, February 13th, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others, and we're on page 90. We're going to unpack paragraph 1 today that begins with, if there be any indication, and then ends with, if the tables were turned. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Donna W., the 12 Traditions, Don B., reading the text today in support, Stacy K., Leslie M., Elena A.M. for newcomers and sponsors, and Robin P. for announcements. Thank you so much for that service. The reference numbers, we call them share ID numbers. For these meetings, from yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be the 12th of February, Wednesday. That number is 14108, 14108. And then the morning meeting today, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Thursday, the 13th, 2020, 14113, 14113. So share ID numbers for re-listening to these recorded meetings. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Donna W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Donna W. checking in from Palo Alto, California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Donna W. I will now ask Don B. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Don B., recovered in Southern California. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you very much, Dawn B. Appreciate that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Take note here, this means the star 1 function only, please. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others, and we're on page 90, taking apart the first paragraph today. And it begins with, if there be any indication, and ends with, if the tables were turned. And I would like to open up this discussion today and study by asking Stacey K. to please read that paragraph and then comment on what her experience is with that, with those directions. Hi, Stacey.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. This is Stacey K., compulsive overeater from Colorado. If there is any indication that he wants to stop, have a good talk with the person most interested in him, usually his wife. Get an idea of his behavior, his problems, his background, the seriousness of his condition and his religious leanings. You need this information to put yourself in his place, to see how you would like him to approach you if the tables were turned. You know, this paragraph starts with an if, right? The paragraph before this, we're listening. We're trying to find out more about this prospect, more about this person that might have approached us. And in this paragraph, again, if there's any indication that the person wants to stop eating compulsively, it's talking about maybe talking to a family member. You know, again, if, you know, but I get to listen. I get, if, you know, I've never really, with a compulsive overeater, talked to a family member except for within my family. My family knows that I am a compulsive overeater and that I work the 12 steps and I'm in OA. So if they know where to go, if they need help or they want to talk to me about it. So I'm open to doing that. I just haven't done that with somebody's family before. But I think the idea here is that we get, hold on a second. Melanie, are you saying that we're...
I wanted you to continue with what you're doing because you're doing such a beautiful job. Sorry for the interruption. And then I'll talk about more in just a moment, okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure. I should have asked you. You said paragraph 1, but you summarized paragraph 2. So
I did.
It seems,
yeah, let's not complicate
thing, right?
It. Let's keep going. Keep going with what you're doing, and then I'll have you stay. Stay right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, paragraph 1 and paragraph 2, same thing. We're learning more. We got to listen, and we got to find out more about our prospect, right? And that's our job. to get an idea of where they're at. Because you know what? Maybe they don't want to stop. Maybe, you know, I could be jumping to some conclusion that they want a sponsor and I'm going to read the doctor's opinion with them and go like gangbusters. And they might not be ready for that at all. They might just need to, you know where an OA meeting is. You know, I don't know. Or they might just need somebody to talk to at the moment. They might not be ready to begin the steps. So I'm gonna always go to God. You know, I'm going to try to be quiet and listen, and I'm going to go to God and ask God to, you know, to show me what the next right thought or action, what do I need to do to be helpful, because that's my aim today. And I'll just stop there. Thanks.
Stacy, stay where you are, if you would, please, and we're going to recalibrate the meeting, if you don't mind. And would you please read paragraph one for the sake of those that are just coming back in? And that starts with when you discover a prospect and ends with dealing with a sick person. That way we can get things in context. And if you have anything more to share on that particular, please feel free to do so. Would you read that for us?
Sure, absolutely. All right, here we go. When you discover a prospect for Alcoholics Anonymous, find out all you can about him. If he does not want to stop drinking, don't waste time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. This advice is given for his family also. They should be patient, realizing they are dealing with a sick person. And Melanie, I don't need to share anything else about that. I'm just, you know, I talked about what I need to do. I need to listen, and I need to trust God and to see where I can be helpful. So I'll pass.
Thanks, Stacy. And just to be sure, we are on page 90, reading paragraph one. Let me recalibrate our thinking on this. And it does start with when you discover a prospect and ends with dealing with a sick person. And I'd like to be able to take names now. If you give me the first name and the first initial of your last name, I can get a lineup for commenting on that particular paragraph.
Barbara E.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Rachel P.
Okay, Rachel.
Margaret N. Shelley C. R.
Did you say Margaret N.?
Yes.
And Shelley C.R. Uh-huh.
Marilyn T.
Robin
on
the
W.
Marilyn T. and Robin. That's all I'm going to take. And then got Robin T., I think is who I have. Okay, so this is what I have so far. And the rest will pick you up. Barbara E., Rachel P., Margaret N., Shelley C.R., Marilyn T., and Robin P. Good morning, Barbara. Your 3 minutes start now.
Good morning, everyone. I hope it's a sunny day where you are. It's raining in New Jersey. From a very personal point of view, our son, who is 50 years old, came back home from California to live with us, ostensibly to get healthy, because he was taking many medications for heart, for blood pressure, for diabetes, morbidly obese, to the point where we can't sit at a booth with him. We can only sit at tables. And he was also going to get a new job at the time because the job he had evaporated through no fault of his own. So my husband drove across country. They picked up all his things and brought him back here. He's been with us 9 years now. I said to my husband, we can be role models for him. For good or for evil, we can eat the potatoes and the rice and all those other things, which you don't normally eat, Neil, or we can eat the way I eat, which is around the perimeters of the supermarket, the fruits, the vegetables, the dairy, the proteins, the healthy things. It's up to us. Michael's been with us 9 years now. He weighs about 50 pounds more than he did when he first came. He is now being told that he needs to take insulin shots, which before he was not doing. He was just taking medicine. I have left books around. He hears me talking to my sponsees. I've left strategically the 12 and 12, the big book, all those little things that one might pick up occasionally. And he said to me, Mom, I know why you're doing it. You think I should be going with you. I'm not going to do it. I think this is all hokum, and I think you're all part of a cult, and you probably hand out flowers at the airports. So I knew I had to back off and back off in a big way. He did not want to hear, and I wasn't being an evangelist. He was just watching me weighing and measuring my food. He was listening to me talking to people, my sponsor, my sponsees, and just my fellow members. But he appreciated what he heard me saying, but he didn't want any part of it. He went to Weight Watchers, lost a few pounds, and then immediately went off and gained them all back and gained a lot of friends with it. I know he's not ready. And yet there are other people that I've dropped the little seed by saying I used to be and how I got over it. And they did eventually end up in the rooms of OA. And that was a miracle because I had just planted a mustard seed and it wasn't for a whole year until they showed up. But they are models of recovery today. And I pray for all the sick and suffering people out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara E. Rachel P., it's your turn now, and then Margaret N. will follow you.
Good morning, fellas. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive reader in Denver, Colorado. Wow, I really love this paragraph. And when I read it, I think about the phrase in the St. Francis Prayer that says, seek to understand rather than to be understood. And this paragraph just really hits home for me because I'm the kind of person to share my opinion, whether it's warranted or not. Even before program, you know, for years I was an atheist, and I would tell anybody who asked the reasons why I was an atheist and the reasons why I didn't believe. And then I became a proselytizer in terms of eating clean. And I became a nutritional therapist. That's how obsessed I was with clean eating and dieting and all of that. And now that I'm in recovery, I have to let that defect go. You know, and I have learned the hard way a couple of times that I've tried to evangelize this program to people in my life who I think need it, and inevitably it doesn't work because, you know, I know from my personal experience that I had to be completely ready. I had to be to the point where there were no other options, there were no other doors, and this had to be the thing. I have a roommate from my senior year of college who was probably close to 200 pounds overweight, and she was in town almost a year ago, and we met up, and she was just about to have a surgery to make her stomach smaller so that she could lose weight. And she told me, you know I have food addiction, and I'm getting this surgery because I need help. I have so many health complications. And I told her about OA, and I told her how, you know, I've lost more than 100 pounds and it's changed my life, and, you know, I have such an incredible community around me now. And, you know, but my impetus there was to get her to come to OA, to get her to find the solution so that it could save her in the way that it saved me. And now she, you know, she's had the surgery and she's lost close to 100 pounds. And she's posting videos on her Facebook about, you know, like how to resist the temptation to eat. And I just want to shake her and be like, come to OA. But I can't, you know, I planted the seed. She knows the name of the program, and the rest is up to her. You know, it's not my responsibility to persuade anyone to work this program. You know, I know that, you know, from my experience, like I could only be ready to work this program in the way that I needed to work it when I was ready to work it.
Time.
And God brought me there, and I'm just really grateful. So thank you, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Margaret N., it's your turn for your 3 minutes. Shelley C.R. will follow.
Thank you. This is Margaret N. in Loomis, California,
And it is sunny here, but I wish it was raining. So anyway, what hits me about this paragraph is that it just reminds me that God is the director. I don't have control over anyone, and I can't make anyone do anything. And as was already shared, the best I can do is be a loving example of how to practice loving myself as my higher power loves me. And then I don't want to abuse myself with food, and I have the resource to deal with what life brings, which it will every day, without turning to the food. But being the best example of God's love and planting seeds, I do know for me that I wasn't ready until I was, and it's that gift of desperation. And I certainly don't want to hinder anyone's path to that gift of desperation by trying to force something too soon. So, you know, God's the director. I'm a bit player, and I'm happy to be a bit player. It relieves so much pressure off of me because I do my part, and it really is plenty every day to do my part and to do my work and to stay centered in my program and strengthen and expand the spiritual base of my life, and that's good enough. And hopefully just being that example is a service to somebody. So that's all I have to share for today, and I thank you for letting me speak, and I pass.
Thank you, Margaret Ann. Shelley C.R., your 3 minutes are now, and Marilyn T. will follow you.
Good morning. This is Shelley C.R., recovering compulsive overeater in Duluth, Minnesota. This paragraph, I feel like this first paragraph, every line is just very telling for me. That first part, you know, when you discover a prospect, find out all you can about this person. And so when it comes to, you know, meeting people that there might be a possibility, it's about me asking questions and taking an interest in their lives. Again, it's getting outside of myself. As a compulsive eater, I am a very selfish person. And so that really helps me get outside of that selfishness. It's me finding out about this person. And talking with them and just getting to know them. And then, you know, from that point, being able to kind of ascertain, is this person interested in stopping eating compulsively? You know, it brings me back to tradition 3. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And so it's that part about recognizing that. And if not, then that's okay. And that's their path. It's not mine. It's not my journey. It's their journey. And they have their own higher power. I have mine. And I need to focus on that. And so I can use my time and my energies, you know, in other ways. And that part about spoiling a later opportunity, like I can see where that can be the case. Because I, too, as was mentioned, used to find it really important to tell everyone, and this is what they should do, and this is blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't know what kind of impression that leaves. I can only imagine that it's like, yeah, I was talking to this crazy woman, and she's like telling me all this and that, and that sounds ludicrous. And so I could have set things up very negatively. And so it's through the directions in this book, it helps me to understand, like, what is my role in this? You know, as far as the part, this advice is given for his family also, you know, that helps me keep in mind as far as within my own family and how I should be responding to family members too. I should be patient, realizing that I'm dealing with sick people, and that's the case. I'm a sick person. This brings me back to the sick person's prayer, which is really helpful for me in having compassion and understanding and empathy and treating people with courtesy. And so all of these things, doing all of these things, again, it brings me back to a connection with my higher power. It releases me from all of these negatives that play a role in me wanting to numb out by shoving my face with food. And it brings me to a place of peace and serenity. I know that I'm doing what I can. I can live this program. The other thing that I want to say is that, again, going back to the traditions, this is a program of attraction. Thank you. Not promotion. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley C.R. We are on page 90 in the big book in the chapter Working with Others. We're opening today with paragraph 1. It begins with when you discover a prospect and ends with dealing with a sick person. We're taking apart that particular paragraph today to see what the directions for recovery are for us, studying that today. Marilyn T., your share is coming up now. Robin P. will follow you, then we'll open up the lines again. So those that are interested in sharing, you want to get ready. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you for hearing my name when I called. This is Marilyn T., grateful, recovering compulsive overeater in Northern California. What I get from this first paragraph that we read is that we have a new job in this respect as a recovered person and in seeking prospects, sponsees, someone who might need us. We never force ourselves or call on them. We let them come to us. We ask questions, and that is the big thing that I heard in other talks ahead of me, is we listen to them. We find out where they're at. This isn't about us. We have a new job. We work for our higher powers, which I call God, and we are simply the agent, as it was said prior. We must find out where this person is at. How will we know if they're even interested in this program that we have to offer? So we give them a phone number for a vision for you is my thing, and we give them our own phone number, and it's their choice. We can only live the life that God has given us and treat everyone we come in contact with, and this is where I see it. It isn't just people who are overweight. What I have received from this program in mental sobriety is putting down the food was just the symptom of the sickness that I had going on inside my mind. And until I could put the food down, I could not become, and I'm in my 12th step now, second time for a vision for you, but that's what it took for me. It took, I'm a hard case. I'm a bottom eater. I had to again go through this to finally go from the head to the heart. I had to be able to get out of myself. Well, that takes that for other people too. Other people are going to be like me or not like me, but if I don't listen to them and God as He instructs me what to be, if I don't live a model life and treat everyone with dignity and kindness, I will never know. And of course, plant the seeds and see what happens. Johnny Appleseed. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Robin P., 3 minutes you have going on now, and that means 3 minutes for the next folks to get ready to share. Hi, Robin.
Hey, hi, Mel. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, and I've been sick with the flu for a couple months off and on again, so I'm really grateful to be able to share and be heard. And I just wanted to say that I've worked with people. I've been sponsored, and I've had sponsors, you know, and my sponsor asked me, you know, are you willing to go to any length to recover? And I said wholeheartedly, yes. And I've been abstinent, thank God, one day at a time for 4 years. And, you know, when I work with people, I ask them to pray about it, and I say, are you willing to go to any lengths to recover? That means picking up the phone instead of picking up the food, you know, reaching out to someone else instead of the food, you know, reaching up to God. And, you know, and some people will pray about it and get back to me the next day and say, no, I don't think I'm willing to do all that. And, you know, and I stay and also work the steps, you know, and then pass the message on. And some people, they'll just say, I'm not comfortable with that. And I just have to let go and trust God that God has the perfect timing for that person. And just like God had the perfect timing for me, and it takes what it takes. And then all I do is just pray for them to hit bottom, because that's the best place to be before you start working the steps, is to know that you've hit bottom. And just to, I surrender, and I'm willing to go to any lengths to recover. And that's the blessing right there. And it's that jumping off point. And, you know, it's not making sure that I'm making good use of my time and someone's making good use of their time, because it's so valuable. And I'm so grateful to be in recovery today. It's such a miracle. I get to show up for things, and I get to be a light for people. And I get to, you know, be a positive spirit for good, you know, and for God to use me and my gifts for good, you know, and all that is recovery. So even if I'm not 12-stepping somebody with my words, I'm still 12-stepping them with my spirit. So God bless everybody. I pray that you all have a very blessed abstinent day. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Robin P. And that now opens the lines for additional people to comment on paragraph 1, page 90 in your big
Donna
book.
W.
Thank you. Hi, Donna.
Donna W.
Mo H.
Gotcha. Mo,
Mary
Grace H. Mary Grace H. Hey, Mary Grace, you're a little bit, hang on, Shlomate, Anna. Mary Grace, you're a little bit muffled. If maybe you can adjust your mic so we don't miss a word of what you have to say. And then Shlomate, Anna.
Patty T.
It's more the mic than the volume of your voice. It's more the mic, like it's under your chin or something like that. But don't want to miss it. We'll try to hear you. And then we'll hear Patty T. And that's it, Pamela. Patty T. and Pamela. Okay, so this is what we have. We have Donna W., Mo H., Mary Grace H., Shlomit Hannah B., Patty T., and then Pamela R. So let's go open it up now with Donna. Hi.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Donna W., gratefully recovered compulsive eater in Palo Alto, California, and so grateful for my abstinence and my recovery today. And, you know, what I've learned from really from A Vision for You is that I cannot recover anyone. And I've learned from fellows on these calls that this is not a program for people who need it. This is not a program for people who want it. It's a program for people who do it. And, you know, so I've had lots of sponsees where it's just, you know, I start getting stressed out because they're not doing enough. And then it's time to let them go because I can't do their program for them. And I've brought plenty of friends and family to meetings, and you know, if they're interested, they know where to find me. But I don't, you know, they know I'm in program. I have three sisters, and two of them are obese, and one of them is a sugar addict, and they know I'm in program. But you know, that it's not for them. So you know, I work my program, and if somebody wants to work through the steps, and you know, then we'll do that. I've also heard it's good to say, hey, let's do this for a month so that you can just kind of test it out. But that is also important if somebody's not really diving in to move on. And I have certain ways I work my program, and if people want what I have, then that's the way we're going to do it. And if they don't want to, then great, find somebody who's a better fit. So I'm learning that it's not about me. Don't take it personally. And, you know, and then I'm here for people who are ready, because it is a lot of work. It's life transforming, and not everybody wants to transform their lives. They want to just put down a few pounds or put down a few bites. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna W. Mo H., your 3 minutes start now. Then Mary Grace H., you'll follow Mo. Hi, Mo.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. Thank you very much. Good to hear you, and thank you for your service and all those on the line. Mo H. here, recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. So the wonderful thing about modern technology is it's not hard to find compulsive overeaters or people who are interested in the program, especially on this line. I mean, there's lots and lots of people who want recovery or who hear recovery and want what we have. And so I don't have to go to the hill and dales looking for people. You know, we do when we do public information things. But, and, you know, people come to us and we find people and they ask questions. But what I do when someone asks me to sponsor them, and so that's like finding a prospect, so someone asks me to sponsor them, is I have three questions that I ask them. Two are in the big book, and one of them my sponsor developed. And one is, are you done yet? In other words, are you desperate? And the other one is, I've heard before, is, are you willing to go to any lengths? That means work the entire program. And the third one is, are you willing to give up all control and get direction? And that, people, I ask them to answer those questions honestly, and I've had some people say, I cannot answer yes to those questions. And I say, well, then it's not time for you to be sponsored by me. Could be somebody else, but not by me. So I love that opportunity to be able to work with someone that way. I really do listen to what they have to say. They tell me their story a little bit on the phone. But if they're not ready, remember, we are dealing with sick people. They're coming in with all their baggage, and they want a lot of times to just dump the baggage or just get the diet. And, you know, can I have the diet and move on without the recovery? And the recovery, as someone said, it takes work. It's not for people who want it or need it, but it's people do it, and it's work, and it's everyday work. Doing now as a recovered person 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. That's what keeps my program alive. So, and I don't want to spoil an opportunity for a later prospect. So, you know, if I'm working with somebody who is not ready and someone who is, I am spoiling that opportunity. So anyway, just thought I'd share that. Thank you, Melanie, and I will pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Mary Grace H., you're next for your 3 minutes, and then Shlomit Hanna will follow.
I'm Mary Grace H. I'm a compulsive eater. Monterey, California. I'm going to approach this a little differently than what I've heard, because I'm going to approach how I was first learned about Overeaters Anonymous, which was not good. I had given a speech somewhere, and of course was feeling good about myself because many people were coming up and thanking me. And two women sort of came right up to me and confronted me and said, you need Overeaters Anonymous. And I was like, I just couldn't believe it. To make a long story short, one of those ladies later apologized. The other never did. Was at my first meeting. And again, I was asking questions. I'm a newcomer after the meeting. And she's like, you're so defiant. And I thought, I started to cry. And someone else came up to me and they said, you know, what's going on? I said, well, you know, I've been here and everyone is telling me what I can't eat, but nobody is telling me what to do and what I can eat. And that was my first sponsor. One thing that I ask people now, if they ask me to sponsor them, is what are you looking for in a sponsor? Because when I ask that question, then I find out what they're looking for. And then I know whether or not I can fulfill that if it's going to be a match. So I hope that wasn't too negative, but I certainly learned what not to do from other people. With my own family, they asked me, what am I doing? And I let them know. And one sister said, oh, you know, the other brother said, oh, I know, because he knows what he should do, but he's not going to do it right now. And because I've lost 75 pounds recently in this area, I'm approached all of the time by people who want to know what I did. And I tell them, and most of them are not interested. Anyway, that's my story so far, and thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mary Grace. That's Mary Grace H. Shlomit Hanna B., you're next, and then Patty T. will follow that.
Thank you, Melanie. It's wonderful to hear you. Thank you for the timekeeper also. Thank you, everybody, for being on this line. I'm Shlomi Kanabi, and I'm so grateful for these meetings and for this program. There's just no words to express my gratitude. And I remember years ago, I started a meeting in our community for women in our community, probably about maybe 10, 11 years ago. And before I started that meeting, there were a few women who had come up to me, you know, because I had lost a lot of weight, and they wanted to know what I had done, and I told them about OA, what I was doing, and they confided to me that they were compulsive overeaters and that they were having, they were really suffering. And when I started that meeting, I told them about it, and I really thought that it would be something that could help them. And I wanted them to get recovery. You know, I was kind of in that phase where, you know, I knew the miracles that I was experiencing, and I wanted everyone else to have that too. I wanted to shout it from the rooftop. And I remember I approached them, and I wanted them to come, and, you know, I tried to convince them. And 11 years later, those two ladies have never walked through the door of our meeting. They probably never will. And I remember feeling very, very disappointed. And it took me a few years of, you know, I guess, talking to different people. You know, other people in the community would approach me. They would ask what I would do. They would come to our meeting. I'd get so excited that they were here. And I would think, oh, you know, they're gonna work the program. And I'd try to talk to them about it. And then they would disappear. And it took me a long time to realize that I cannot recover for another person, you know, and it doesn't matter how much pain somebody is in. And boy, some of these people were in a lot of pain. And it hurts me to know that they're in pain and that they could have help, but they refused to help. And there was absolutely nothing I could do about it. And it's a very hard thing to let go. Because when you see people that are in pain and you know that there's a solution and you know what it's done for your life and you just want everyone to have it and you know that it can help them, but for whatever reason, they're not willing. And there's nothing that I can do about that. In program, I have also learned
time.
That I have a higher power. Thank you. And that they have a higher power, too, that takes care of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Sumitana. Patty T., you're next, and then Pamela will take up the last bit here.
After good morning,
you.
Melanie. Hi, it's Patty T. from Southern California. Good gracious. I don't know where I am. And, gosh, thank you so much for your service, and the shares are amazing this morning. They have been for the last several days. It says, find out all you can about him. And unfortunately, my greatest character defect is that I am the most fascinating person I know. And I love talking about me and my experience. And that is one reason I haven't been sharing on the line lately, because I'm really trying to learn how to listen, to take contrary action and let myself find out what others experience. Because that only enhances my own. But you know, when it's to stop trying to persuade him, oh my gosh, my whole life has been trying to persuade people to my own thinking. And that's just not, that's not what this program is about. That's what I'm learning this program is not about. You know, since coming to this fellowship, I have really been able to see my character defects almost like in three dimensions, whereas I couldn't before, whether it was because I was still in the food to some degree or just blinded or was unwilling to look, you know. But my experience right now is that I am reaching out to newcomers and fellows, and I'm actually trying to find out about them. I'm still not good at it. Let's be really real here. I'm so not good at that. But this is an instruction for me. This is a wonderful direction. And I know that if I keep working at it and keep turning it over to God and keep listening to you guys, it will be revealed and I will learn how to do it. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Patty T. Pamela R. B., your 3 minutes start now. And I believe that we might have time for a 2-minute share after you, Pamela R., so anxious to hear your share.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service, and good morning, visionaries. This is Pamela R. B. from Detroit, Michigan. This passage for me is very important. As it was shared earlier, there are certain questions I asked before I even take people on. You know, I don't go around hitting them over the head with this book anymore like I did when I first came in the program. You know, I thought everybody could use this program, you know, family included. I remember inviting my sister to a meeting, and she started, and it just wasn't for her, you know. And so no foul, no harm. I mean, that's the way I look at it today. So if they don't want to stop drinking, I'm not going to waste my time, you know. I'm just one sponsee, and she has been in and out, in and out. And I kindly tell her, maybe I'm not the one for you, or maybe you need to do some more research, you know. Step right up to the bar and see if you can stop abruptly. Those are other things I ask you. And if you can't, you might realize, oops, I may need this program. You know, I am not the be-all and the end-all for everybody, but I do know that there is somebody out there. And if we just, I just open up my heart as I have and just inquire and ask, because it's a two-way street. I have the sponsee interview me too. What are you looking for? You know, because sometimes I may not be that person, and I can tell them up front, you know, and I don't want to waste an opportunity to work with somebody who really wants what I have. And so I do it. And this program, the question that I always lead with, you know, always, are you willing to put down the food? I cannot work with you in all honesty if you're still crunching and munching. It just doesn't work, because that's going to be far louder than anything I can say to you. That was my experience, and that's all I can pass on to another individual is my experience. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thanks, Pamela R.B. There is time for a 2-minute share. If anyone would like to
Natalie
take
G.
that, take your name.
Natalie G.
Somebody G. Natalie. Hi, it's yours, Natalie. 2 minutes.
Hi, Mo.
Natalie.
Thank you so much for your service and for everybody's share. And I am sharing today for my own hearing, because I'm one of those people who just gets on the bandwagon and you got to do this and you got to do it. It's so amazing. You should see what it's done for me. I'm not listening to the person. And in listening to y'all today, and I've had this thought before, I realized that when I believe that what I have to offer someone or what this program has to offer is as good for them as it is for me, and I come from that place like, you need to do this, I am harming them if I try to force this on them. My food was my solution. And I am asking people to give up their only solution and then live in that place of trying to be with themselves without their food. And they don't know, you know, that there's this amazing possibility afterwards. I didn't know. I had to be so desperate. And also just even to believe that it, you know, that this program would save them. I don't know that. I'm not their God. So it really helps me today to remember I'm just offering. And if I can get out of the mindset of, like, you have to have this, they have to have this, I really can be of service to them. And that's all I have to say. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Natalie. That gives us maybe another little bit of time here. Would anybody else like to take about?
Sherry KB?
Yeah, Sherry, you want to take about? Hi, Irene. I got Sherry first, just before you. Don't want to waste any of your time. But, Sherry, do you mind taking about, about
like a minute?
Yeah.
I can take a minute.
Would that be all right?
Quick
okay.
story. Sure. Thanks so much for your service.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And everybody. You know, I have a story. I was at a face-to-face meeting. I went up to a newcomer, started talking to her. She said, you know, I just don't have time for all this. You know, I've got kids. I've got young kids. I can't do this, blah, 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 blah. And I just said, well, and I carry cards from A Vision for You. And I handed it to her, and I just said, here, you know, you might want to check out this meeting, you know, check the website. And I told her all about A Vision for You. And that was like sometime last summer. And I was a speaker at a meeting in December, and she came up to me and she goes, I don't know if you remember me or not. She said, but you talked to me about A Vision for You, because she goes, I know I was kind of not interested and was really, you know, kind of not very pleasant to you, she said. And she said, thank you so much. She said, that has saved my life. She said, I started listening to A Vision for You. I got a sponsor. You know, so, you know, based on attraction rather than promotion, to me, is what this particular paragraph is saying. You know, you can tell somebody about it, but you can't make them do it, and you want to be love, patience, and tolerance is our code. And with God's help, we can all do that and help everybody. And that'll pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. And that will wrap up basically the recorded portion of our meeting as we go to the prospect of closing this one out and the rest of this meeting. It starts unrecorded and just right after the Serenity Prayer. So what I'd like to do is thank everyone for their service today and ask Leslie M. to please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Melanie C. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.